Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The
Fan. Keith, thank you so much for your call. And yeah, the Kringle he brought us last year was top notch.
What is Kringle again?
It was that Danish bakery. You know the one up in Racine?
Oh yeah. I was thinking of the Kris Kringle Mart.
Guys, we need a team outing. Let's get some hot chocolate at the Kris Kringle Market.
I'm good on that. You guys have fun.
What?
I don't like just waiting out in the cold.
How dare you, sir?
It's a good date place is what it is, Mars. You get one of your ladies.
No, who's not going on dates?
Oh, that's
this
right.
Guy. I'm locked in. I got stuff to do.
I'm going to find a date. I'm going to take a date. So that's going to be my challenge to me.
Oh, God. This is going to be an always
date,
sunny
Grody?
Episode.
Yeah.
Do we all get a date to go to the Kris Kringle Market?
You guys can go on a double date.
God help the individuals that we've just pulled into this mess.
I love it.
We're going to get you back on the dating scene, bro. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's actually why we're here. We want to put your profile on Match.com.
I thought you were going to ask me to walk behind you the whole time just taking notes during this Christmas market.
Yeah, I can see where this is going. Yeah, let's just not do that right now.
Robbie just walking around with a notepad.
This is 100% a bad It's Always Sunny episode.
Wait, Russ?
Hold on.
Russ!
815. Why does Marshall hate Christmas?
Oh. Now more than ever, it's because I want to see Robbie wearing like a big coat and gloves and writing stuff down for me the whole time. And the girl wondering what's going on.
Like an elf hat, too.
The date's wondering why Robbie's your personal assistant.
He was really nice, but he had this guy like writing stuff down the whole time.
This is not good radio!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm going to laugh at that for a while. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. I'm like holding back another sneeze. It's just a matter of time.
Let it go.
Bear with me. No, I don't work that way. They go when they want. I don't really have a choice. There's a myth that if you're on air that you won't sneeze on the air. It's a lie. I've sneezed on the air. Yeah, the looking at the light thing doesn't work.
Works for me every time.
So we've got that going for us today. Abject chaos in my sinuses. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. And I fell for it, okay? I got really hype. I saw a playoff graphic, and it got to me. It got to me a little bit. And let's face it, the standings are what they are. You know, right now, I know that the Lions have the tiebreaker over the 6-3 Bears. I know this. But it's just something about seeing all the visuals and knowing the team won. And they have this massive game against the Vikings. Nobody's saying it's not. But then I saw the graphic that I sent to us on the group thread, which was, if the playoffs were today. And they had the matchups. And I believe it was Adam Schefter who posted it. You know him from, I don't know, being the main football reporter in life for us.
I think he was NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't do the ESPN voice. And heading into week 11, he posts this graphic. I'll hold it up here because it's on my phone for our Twitch crew. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Playoff picture after week 10. Bold fonts, everybody. AFC division, the one seed, of course, divisional round. AFC, it's the Colts. NFC, it's the Eagles. And then wild card round, 7 seed and 2 seed. Green Bay Packers and Seattle Seahawks. Seattle's obviously the 2 seed. On the bottom, it's the Rams as the 5 seed and the 4 seed Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then there's that line in the middle. 6 seed, Bears at 3 seed Lions. And I got hype. Did we not get hype when I sent this to us? Like, I'm like, oh, look at this. And it's not like we're talking about this in September, and it's not even being the 12th team out of, well, 15, 16 teams in the hunt graphic. So this is different. This is, you're making the big graphic. That's what the Bears are. I know that it's jumping the gun. We know what the flaws in this team are. We've seen them. But that brought up my next question. Does this graphic get more real to you if the Bears go to Minnesota at one of the roughest places to play in the league, and they win? Do your expectations change? Does it start to get more real? Even Rex Grossman alluded to it yesterday when we were talking, in a way, when he said, you know, these things can take shape a year before you might expect them to.
Well, the Bears are coming.
Yeah.
He said that too.
I think it gets way more real. There's a couple reasons why it gets more real if they win at Minnesota. Because let me tell you something, it all falls apart if they lose at Minnesota. It falls apart because at that point you're 0-3 in the division. And the best you can finish is 3-3 in the division. And knowing how tiebreakers work, the fact that the Vikings would then have a tiebreaker over you if they catch you, the fact that the Packers you haven't even seen yet, you still got to face them twice. And of course, the Lions already have a win over you. You know, 4 teams from the division are not making the playoffs.
But look how pretty this is.
Oh, I see it. I understand the glamour
Bears
of it
are
all.
Right there. You know, they're what it's not like? In the group. They're in there.
You know what it's like, Layla? It's like when Halloween happens. And you understand you've been hit with a barrage of online advertising for Christmas and early Black Friday deals. And then you find yourself somehow on Michigan Avenue and you're literally window shopping. Like, oh, that would be nice to buy. That would be nice to buy for me or for my friends or my family, my loved ones, whoever, right? And the reality is you ain't got the money yet to buy that stuff, all that stuff you want.
Or you're just insulted because it's 90 degrees outside at 6 a.m. on October 19th in the high-end shopping center in Houston where all the oil money goes, has their Christmas stuff up. Who are you fooling? That's wishful thinking. But this I don't, it's not,
this playoff
we are not
graphic,
to wishful thinking when we've had 9 games in the season.
This playoff graphic is still window shopping because nothing's happening tomorrow. There's still way too much time that needs to pass, way too much money you need to earn, aka wins, to be able to afford the things you see in the window. You want to look at that window right now, the window on your phone. It's got the standings.
He's laughing at me because I keep looking at the graphic.
And it looks pretty and it looks nice. And you're like, I think I can put this on layaway. Let me tell you something.
Layaway's back.
You might have to get a part-time job to be able to afford that even on layaway.
You and I are no stranger to side hustles. I think that's what we do.
Yes, but for the Bears, they have things in front of them right now. It's like they've got a big job coming up this weekend. Their part-time / full-time hustle. If they don't get a win this weekend, it all goes away.
Connor O'Donnell, our video moderator on Twitch and also, you know, our big man on our video team, he posted the link to the Adam Schefter graphic. Look at it. Look at it. It's on our Twitch chat. When you look at it, it makes you feel some type of way. It does. And the reasonable take with this is, what does it take for you to really believe this? And for me, I think the answer is a win over the Vikings in Minnesota.
That is a powerful first step. Let me
Slow
tell you why.
Clap that skull all the way out the house.
Yeah, I forgot about this. I actually forgot about Skull. I'm glad you reminded me. That game is on the road. It's a very tough place to play. That's another reason why this would be such a big win. But let me tell you something. If they get the win, if they improve to 7-3,
Woo!
First of all, there's a chance that they're almost to the top of this graphic. I told you who the Lions have next.
That's right, the Eagles.
In Philadelphia.
Birds, as we like to say. Birds.
So they could legitimately be alone at the top. They could. It could be the same graphic next week, and they could be the 3 seed.
Also, did you see the CHSN post that an alliance is forming?
Yeah, between the Eagles and the Bears, right? Because the Eagles took down the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And of course, 3-0 against the division are the Chicago Bears as far as the NFC East goes.
I feel like as two people who have worked in Philly, and that's where I met you, is at Comcast Sportsnet there, that we should really kind of lead the charge on this alliance. The problem is the alliance falls apart on Black Friday.
I mean, it could really fall apart.
Yeah. In front of apparently the world watching on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, they might break it.
Not just the nation. They've decided the world needs to watch Eagles and Bears. But none of that is important to me right now. What's important is in this moment on this Wednesday, the alliance that's forming with Eagles fans, because I am a believer that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Unfortunately, you know that they're going to turn enemy to you in a couple weeks. And then the other part of this is that if they do beat the Vikings, who are for them reeling, I say that in quotes. Now that pretty picture that Adam Schefter and the ESPN graphics people painted gets more and more real.
It does.
And frankly, as we've said before, we're going to get to the Cubs next segment, by the way. But as we've said before, when it comes to raising your standards, shouldn't we be in a place where that discussion happens again for the first time in many years?
If the Bears beat the Vikings and get their 7th win of the season in their first 10 games and only have 7 games left to get 3 wins to get to 10-7, absolutely, the expectation changes. Win 3 games in 7 games. You should be able to win 3 out of 7.
It sounds so simple, but we know that the Bears, at least by tankathon.com, are ranked 4th in the NFL in difficulty of remaining schedule. And that's what makes this so tough. At some point, you have to ask yourself, what really is going to refine this team? What is going to prove that the first 9 games weren't a mirage to you? What defines real progress as far as reward in the NFL? And we know that that means playoffs, number one, for the teams who try, you know, especially in the NFC, especially there where you know it's more wide open, as we've seen. And then additionally, is it going to be a game like going on the road, playing a team you played before, avenging that demon for Monday Night Football, and having a different discussion once you come out on the other side if you get the W? This is Raheemy Harrison Grody, by the way, on 670 The Score. And our segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Are you ready to embrace the concept of being not only in the hunt, but on the graphic that's got the real playoff contenders?
Well, it's here.
The seeds.
Just accept that it's here. And accept this also. This is the first time that Ben Johnson and the Bears will face a team for the second time. This is a great data point, a measuring stick, a recalibration point, whatever you want to call it. Because we saw what happened in week one, the very first game of Ben Johnson's head coaching career. They blew a fourth quarter lead to a quarterback making his first NFL start in J.J. McCarthy, but now you get to right the wrongs of that and show just how far you've come against that same Vikings team. And I think that's why this schedule, it lines up nicely for a team that's learning the ropes, for a head coach learning the ropes, for a quarterback in his first year in a new system. All of that lines up to say, this is how much better we are than the first time they played the Vikings, where, by all accounts, except for maybe the Skol accounts, they should have actually won that game.
That's the other part of this, too, is number one, you're in this situation because you didn't do the thing you were supposed to do in week one. But we're no stranger to that part. That we know. Like, that we know how to address mentally. We know how to talk about it. We understand what happens when an opportunity doesn't actually happen for the Bears that should have. That I understand. What I don't know quite how to handle yet is a team that for real, could make the playoffs.
Also, the Vikings are a better football team than the 4-5 record that's put out there. I feel like they're coming off a loss to the Ravens, but we saw what the Bears did against the Ravens, and the Ravens are obviously a team desperate to have to pull off a winning streak of some kind just to get into the AFC playoffs. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, they went to Detroit and did that thing. They beat the Lions in Detroit.
That's it. It's that this is such a confusing season in that, number one, we talked about this yesterday. The NFC North is not the best division in football. And it's not the best division in the NFC this year. That, I think, belongs to the NFC West. And I think that three playoff teams likely come out of the NFC West. But if that's the case, that probably means that the Bears aren't in it. You know, that's the hard part about reconciling all of this, too. So, you know that for where the Bears are in their relative situation with a first-year head coach, even though this is several years in for Ryan Poles, it's 2 years in for Caleb Williams now, almost. There are pieces here where you say this isn't still a rebuild. Ryan Poles never wanted to call it a rebuild in 2022. But the fact of the matter is, you earned the right to be in this discussion today. You earned the right to be talked about today.
The thing that haunts you, and you mentioned the fact that the NFC West looks like the best division in football so far this year. And the Niners, if the playoffs started today, they would be out. And the Bears would be in.
And the Bears have a game against the Niners, next to last game before the end of the season.
But what if I told you that three teams from the West were to make the playoffs and the Bears still made the playoffs because the Packers didn't make it? Have you thought about that yet?
I think we should.
Because they've got two games against the Packers, the Bears do. And let me tell you something. As long as they don't get swept by the Packers, that becomes a very real possibility when you look at the Packers' schedule.
And, like, just get ready. We're going to talk about this for the rest of the season because, again, the Bears have earned the right to be able to have that discussion. Like, I'm going to rewind back to, and you mentioned the Packers. Like, think about how dominant they looked against the Lions in Week 1. How they stifled that offense. How Micah Parsons just looked like a bat out of hell. You know, running all over the field, chasing people down, changing the shape of that game for the Lions, destructing their game plan, even though, you know, the sack number total may not show it, but you saw the video, you saw what you saw. And think about how the Bears had lost at home against the Vikings and what you were thinking about the division then. And that's not the case now. You know, that's, as you just said, some truth that we saw in the league when it came to who we thought would beat who. When the Lions lose to the Vikings, for example. You know, but then they double up the Commanders the next week. There's more parity in this division than there was last year. And I think that that's going to affect how we feel about this week in and week out. It's going to be a roller coaster for the rest of the season. Buckle up.
It doesn't have to be a roller coaster. Just win this week, win the following week. You're 8-3 heading into that Black Friday game, and everything feels good.
But you don't also want to tank in December. You know, you don't want to limp into the playoffs.
No.
Especially when Ben Johnson said that the offense is going to look better in December than it did in September. That theoretically what they're building is going to be more fully realized on the field. You're going to be sitting there going, they could have scored a touchdown on this drive. They could have marched down the field a little farther, moved the chains more on this drive. You know, it's going to be that kind of evaluation. That's what happens when the higher expectations come in.
You know what the real blessing is here for all of us right now in this moment is that when you talk about the expectations changing if they get a win in Minnesota on Sunday, the expectations have already changed as far as what you expect every time the Bears offense takes the field. You expect them to get first downs. You expect them to score. It's just a matter of, do I expect a touchdown or a field goal? That's where the baseline has moved to such a positive point where this offense is now undeniable that it exists in a positive way.
I think we've gotten some really good discussion here, both on our text line and on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell mans the Twitch chat. He put up that graphic if you want to see it. Link to it in the chat. Jacob Stutz, Max Curtis are also part of our video team. And then Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer are our producers. You can call us 312-644-6767. And you can text us 312-644-6767. Same number. And 919 says, Layla, my answer would be when we play a good second and third quarter. That middle eighth that you're talking about that Ben Johnson refers to as well. That encompasses that discussion. The text says, just play good versus wanting to tear my hair out on offense. D has to prove that they can stop an opponent's drive consistently. Ben, don't break isn't enough. That's true. The best defenses in the league, They don't just stifle you in the red zone. But stifling teams in the red zone will get you into the playoffs.
That will get you wins, and wins are what ultimately you count up. And my favorite text on this text line in this first segment is from 847 at the top, Layla. The NFL is still in an illusionary state. I trust nothing. In most other years, we'd have a pretty good idea. I think that's spot on. And that's what makes the NFL so great. Because week to week, you don't know what you're seeing. You didn't expect the Miami Dolphins to destroy the Buffalo Bills last week.
It really was a destruction.
Yes. There are so many examples of teams that you thought weren't good beating other teams. And any given Sunday has really come into full bloom over the last month or so.
I mean, there are some truths. I think they just mostly lie with the teams in the AFC. I think there is a reason that Drake May is now getting discussion, legitimate discussion for the MVP candidacy. And I want to talk about that with Danny Parkins at one. I think that the Colts are every bit of their 8-2 record, and they doubled down at the trade deadline and wanted to add. So you know they're going for it. I think the Denver Broncos record not only reflects that their offense doesn't have to be spotless clean, but that their defense is helping them be so successful at 8-2. I believe those things. You know, I believe that those teams outright in the AFC are showing you why they've earned the discussion. But when the best record in the NFC is 7-2, whether it's the Eagles, Seahawks, or Rams, the discussion is more wide open. We expected that. You know, that's the fun part of this, is you get to hope. You get to look at your team on a playoff graphic on November 12th, and it's okay. It's okay to ask, what's it really going to take? Welcome to Leveling Up.
There's four teams I believe will make the playoffs in the NFC. After that, I don't know. Those four teams are the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Rams. After that, I don't know. Although the Bucs are pretty close just because their division's terrible. So
yeah, I was going to say, I still think Tampa Bay makes it out of the South pretty easily. But then? And yeah, let's talk about the Packers disappointing at 5-3-1. Let's do it because it's fun and I like it. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, we have to shift gears because there was a lot of talk that came out of the GM meetings in Las Vegas out of Cubs front office brass, Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins. But similar to us saying that we have to change our mindset when it comes to the Bears, do we really have to when it comes to the Cubs? Let's examine what they had to say and how you might feel like you've been in this position before. Next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
How are you responding to this outside media pressure from all over, you know, saying that the Cubs need to spend more, that they're not up to what a big market should be?
It's the first I've heard it, so I'm glad. I don't read it, so it's just not my concern at all. None of that narrative, none of that noise, as you said, it doesn't have any impact. Listening to it doesn't make us any better.
That is Bruce Levine talking to Jed Hoyer. So Bruce is in Vegas, huh? We sent Bruce to Vegas for the GM meetings. That's neat.
Wow.
I wonder what he's doing over there besides, you know, talking to everybody. He hanging out at Circa at the pool. Bruce likes a pool.
I can't picture the way you're describing it, but I get it.
I've seen Bruce at the East Bank Club pool before. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
He's part of the East Bank cult or whatever.
Cult.
I call it East Bank Cult, EBC. That's what I call it. I know people who go there, and the way they describe things, I'm like, yeah, that sounds real cultish.
No, it's just a good place to work out and hang out, and mm-hmm. It's got a pool. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I would run into Bruce there. So Bruce is in Las Vegas.
What about it?
Yeah, Bruce is in Las Vegas at the GM meetings and doing work for us. And I like how he asked the question to Jed Hoyer, and I think he was trying to identify with Jed's position in it versus, say, ours, aka the media pressure, or ours is in the fan pressure. Like, it's not just us. Like, I fully know that I'm part of it, but I know I'm not the only part of it. And when Jed Hoyer addresses this in a way that sounds way too familiar for me, like, I understand that you can have a plan and you don't have to acknowledge all parts of your plan. Like, for example, the Tucker discussion, them trading for Kyle Tucker, didn't come up until later, relatively speaking, in the offseason. But Jed Hoyer saying pitching is the priority. That's where I really have an issue. Because, yes, I do think that you need to address it. I do think that you can't live dangerously like you did in the playoffs, where you're having to one inning previously who you thought was going to be a starter or a possible ace for you. I get that. But when you decide that you're going to tell people that you want to focus on pitching, but the elephant in the room is still the free agent who's going to set the market in Kyle Tucker, who was on your team this past year, who you traded Cam Smith, Isaac Paredes, and Hayden Wesneski for, I'm going to need you to also talk about the offense as well. It wasn't enough. It hasn't been enough. The second half of the season, we saw what happened.
I think when I hear Jed talk about it, I understand where he's coming from. Because, yes, pitching should be always a priority. You can never have enough arms. I understand that part of it. I think the problem with Jed is he looks at the stats from last year. You know what he sees, Layla? He sees an offense that scored the fifth most runs in baseball. That's true. That's undeniable.
The totality.
How many times did he use the word totality in his postseason press conference? They scored 793 runs. That was 5 less than the Blue Jays. That was 13 less than the Milwaukee Brewers. And only the Yankees and Dodgers scored more than those four teams. So I'm looking at it like that. The problem, as you mentioned, post All-Star break, the Cubs were 20th in runs scored.
You know what you saw.
And so maybe you could call it recency bias, but I would say it's more of where you ended up as opposed to where you were in totality. And the second half of the season combined with the postseason numbers tells me the Cubs need a more consistent approach. They need to change their hitting profile. And I understand he's got a whole bunch of guys under contract, so he feels like it's settled what we're doing position by position. I would argue you could upgrade at some of those positions.
No, absolutely. That's part of it, too, is your stars aren't hitting as well as other teams' stars. Like, your top guys don't match up. Unfortunately, you didn't have enough offense to beat the team up the street from you, who also boat raced you at the period you're talking about, the second half of the season.
They beat you in the regular season. They beat you straight up in the postseason. And I think the bigger thing is when he talks about the offense and not having the same urgency as the pitching, you're also missing the guy you said was your best player last year. There's no guarantee he's coming back. In fact, no one thinks he's coming back in Kyle Tucker.
So the quote that when I saw come across from Marquis that said, we're going to have an active offseason. Largest focus will be on pitching. I think that's obvious. No, it is not obvious. You could argue that both are true. How are you going to fill the hole left by Kyle Tucker offensively? And you kind of got a taste of it in the second half of the season. And that was familiar for a lot of people watching. You know, that's part of this too. Is that we know what this team looked like without him producing. And when PCA, the league caught up to him. So then what was your answer? And your answer wasn't enough. Your answer was overperform expectations, outperform it, whatever you want to say. There weren't enough runners on base. That it wasn't just the stress of trying to figure out who was starting for you once you advanced past the wild card. It was very much also, are you going to get run support?
The question I have for Jed Hoyer as it stands today is, how much are you depending on guys already within the organization to take a big step forward, much like Nico Horner and Pico Armstrong did to a degree last year, when you're looking at Matt Shaw at third base, when you're looking at whether it's Owen Casey, Moises Ballesteros? How much are you depending on your offense improving, being the guys that you know who they were last year and know they have room for growth, that their growth is going to be the answer to your offensive woes? Because if that's what they're leaning on, that is a mistake.
So I know people were skeptical about that phrase that was mentioned yesterday from the Bears, hope, belief, in the known. I feel like the Cubs are somewhere in the hope and belief stage.
They're not in the known yet?
No. Let's listen to Jed Hoyer talk about when he was asked about the offense, what he wanted to do.
I guess what I'd say is we're going to look at everything. I think we can get better in a lot of areas. You know, if you're not the best at something, you can get better. We can certainly we can look to get better offensively. But I feel like from an offensive standpoint, you know, we could kind of play a game tomorrow if we needed to. You know, that we have players at every position. Whether it, you know, move say it back in the outfield. You know, we have all those spots, and so. Will we look to move things around? Will we look to add? Of course, but you know, it's not the level of urgency is not nearly as high as on the pitching side. I think we realize that we need to add.
So can you use the word opportunistic for offensively?
Exactly. We'll look at a lot of different angles offensively. Like I said, we can get better. We should try to get better. But like I said, like if. The status quo is in a pretty good position. I think, you know, the pitching wise, we need to make additions and we need to get better.
But here's the math though. Here's the math. You extended Shota Imanaga a $22 million qualifying offer. And because of the stipulations surrounding his contract, if another team wants to beat that, they're going to have to give up a compensatory draft pick. So you up the ante real good for any other team who'd want to pay him. If they have Shota, you have Colin Ray, who you just extended. Also, you have the established starters in Justin Steele. You have Cade Horton, who just finished second in National League Rookie of the Year voting. You have Jameson Taillon, who was the pitcher you could depend on in the postseason. So, how many is that?
My favorite part about what Jed Hoyer just said is that he knows position-wise they can play a game tomorrow. My question and response to that is, can you win a game tomorrow? I'm not sure that is something that he's taken into account. Yes,
who's
put a line about there.
Who's producing offensively for you in this scenario? I just need to know. Who consistently is the bat? Because you're talking about putting Saya in right field. Owen Casey, last we saw him was in concussion protocol.
I think Mo Baller would be the DH in tomorrow's game
Moises
that he's talking
Ballesteros
about.
Moises Ballesteros is your DH. You feel confident with that? You think you can beat the Brewers in a 5-game divisional series with that?
Can you win a must-win game tomorrow against the Brewers? That's
might
the
I
question.
Remind you about PCA second half numbers while we're here?
You could do that.
I have a list for you. I have a list for you that I will rattle off right now on November 12th of the Cubs bats that I'm the most confident in. Michael Bush. That's the list.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it?
Like, without Kyle Tucker, who
and,
is
and
the
he was, Nico?
And he wasn't get allowed, Nico? He wasn't allowed to hit against lefties for most of the season.
I can't get Nico?
An amendment. Yes, Nico is consistent. I'm sorry. What I had in mind was power. Power.
Oh, I was
Nico,
sorry.
Nico will
Nico
get on base.
Nico is the man. He's going to get on base. Much
like,
respect
Nico.
To Nico Horner, 100%.
Tell me which Cubs you think will get on base for somebody else to bring home. Consistently.
So without Kyle Tucker, you would say Nico Horner is the Cubs' best hitter.
I would say Michael Bush is the Cubs' best hitter.
Well, that's where it's like, I look around the NL, you look at the Dodgers. Who's their best hitter?
It's the guy who leads off.
Who else played in the World Series? The Blue Jays. Who is their best hitter?
Yeah, you're
the guy. So look at all these major teams. They got a bopper. If we're going to say Nico Horner is potentially the Cubs' best hitter, that's not good enough.
But guys, you know my formula. You know my if I'm a GM formula. Stopper, bopper. Everything else I fill in the gaps. And you know what I'm probably not doing? Giving Andrew Kittredge back for cash considerations.
No, I'm good
with that.
Where's that
money going?
I'm good with that. That's going towards more pitching and also maybe hitting. But now that I've heard Jed Hoyer speak, it's just going towards starting pitching.
Okay, but let's look at this. Matthew Boyd was the name I forgot to mention. And he doesn't deserve a forget. I'm sorry, Matthew Boyd. I'm sorry to do that to you.
Forgot your dad? It's not even Father's Day.
Dad. He's the dad who stepped up.
He is the dad who stepped up.
So then there you have it, right? You have Justin Steele. You have, right now, still listed on depth chart for the Cubs is Javier Saad. So then Shohei Minaga gets the qualifying offer. Colin Ray's in this. So we're talking about 6 or 7 starting pitchers. So how are you addressing pitching?
Colin Ray's not a starter. Listen.
But that begs the question. Who in the is this a bullpen acquisition discussion? Because the Cubs, as an organization, don't do that.
No, I think it's a combination of both. I think they're going to sign a top level bullpen arm, one of those. They're going to sign a top level arm out of the bullpen. Who knows? The Dodgers might step in and pay that person more. I saw that happen last offseason. Did you? So, also with the starting pitching, they might sign a Dylan Cease type, Valdez. There's guys, but I think. Ultimately, Colin Ray's a bullpen swing guy. Justin Steele's not coming back for the start of the season, and you can never have enough arms. So I don't have any problem with them shuffling in arms. I'm just saying address the offense as well.
You can never have enough arms, but the problem is they don't have enough money. Like, we know that. They don't have the Dodgers' budget.
We don't know what their budget is yet. So maybe
which also concerns me because history would indicate that that's not a confidence-building discussion.
It's the Bellinger money. They're going to spend the Bellinger money. You're good.
Remember when they were going to spend the Theo Epstein money? Like when Theo left and they were like, oh, where's this money going to go on the payroll?
Well, we got some postseason games at Wrigley Field that should generate income, right?
And maybe, I mean, yeah, he addressed the offense, but for pitching to be the first priority... Ooh, all right, let's do more on this coming up next. We mentioned Shota Imanaga. We should hear what Jed Hoyer had to say about it because I'm still not understanding. Like, actions aren't necessarily matching what we're hearing. So we're going to try to figure out how it all kind of gets put together in a way that makes more sense. More from the general manager meetings. More Cubs talk next here on Raheem Harris and Grody on this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Score.
Listen to Raheemi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Largest focus, I think, will be on pitching. I think that's obvious. Just a look at our depth chart. That, you know, I think we're in pretty good position for, on the position player side. On the pitching side, we're thinner. And so I think that's going to be our focus. And I expect to explore trades. I expect to explore free agency. I expect to be really active.
That was Jed Hoyer talking to our Bruce Levine at the GM meetings in Las Vegas. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. I think your roster's pretty set with both. It's just a matter of how you want to deal in and out of this. And for him to say pitching is the main concern when, for example, your starters, one's going to get healthier in Justin Steele and Colin Ray, you just extended. As we mentioned, they extended the qualifying offer to Shota Imanaga. So for somebody else to get him, it's going to require that more and a draft pick. That's where this gets hard to figure out. And I don't know. I don't know how you talk like that when Kyle Tucker, as we all know, is most likely not walking through that door.
They have to address that portion of it and figure out what they want to do to supplant the offense that's going to be missing without Kyle Tucker. That's where I disagree with the priorities. I get it. Priorities are always to add pitching. That's always going to be the priority. And they need top of the line swing and miss stuff when we talk about pitching. That's the specific type of pitching. They've proven they can go out and get guys that you can spitball with and can pitch a third of a season, a fourth of a season out of the bullpen and help eat innings. Out-getters, if you will, but they need elite pitching. But as far as offense goes, Layla, when Kyle Tucker doesn't come back, someone's going to have to fill that void.
And this isn't just a typical void. His production in the first half of the season was how they made the playoffs to begin with. Like, I saw somebody on Twitter say, oh, remind Marshall that the Cubs won the season series with the Brewers. What about the important series? What about the second half? You know, the things you saw when, say, you had to get used to life without Kyle Tucker's bat being powerful. That's what I'm concerned about. You know, the realistic situation and the playoff games that ultimately matter the most. That's what I'm concerned about. How do you get past that? How do you get to the CS when you lose Kyle Tucker, who was, what, 6.5 war offensively?
Kyle Tucker was...
And you want to focus on pitching. I get that. I'm sure Craig Counsell did not have fun trying to schedule his pitching staff in the playoffs.
No, but Kyle Tucker was great when he was healthy. He wasn't healthy enough.
But he's still part of the reason they got there.
No, absolutely. The first half of the season, the part of the season they're talking about, the part that allowed the Cubs to win the season series.
The totality, yeah.
That was Kyle Tucker doing Kyle Tucker things.
Right, so he's not going to be here. So...
I think
factor that in and then tell me how you feel. Like, you could lean on that season series from this year all you want. Like, tell me about your April. Tell me how much that matters to you in September and October when you're trying to make the playoffs in advance.
I think the key part to look at here when you're trying to figure out what Jed Hoyer is trying to do, I believe trades, multiples, are coming. And I do believe someone who was a regular in that Cubs lineup, if you really are serious about making sure the offense can do close to what it did last year, someone is getting moved and they're making room for more bopper. And you said bopper and stopper, right? They're making room for another bopper.
Yeah, you know, I was told that they were going to be very active at the trade deadline this year.
That's a good point.
And then I saw tumbleweeds roll by. And then I saw Michael Soroka and Andrew Kittredge.
Kittredge was good.
He was. That was a good Soroka, pickup, which is why I'm kind of annoyed that he's not here.
Hold on. I got to see something because you just made me remember
and Willie
something.
Willie Castro.
Who was good for like 2 weeks. Or actually, it wasn't even that he was good for 2 weeks. We saw a lot of him for a couple of weeks. How about that? Is that a fair statement to make? He played a lot until he didn't. Soroka, how many games do you think he pitched in for the Cubs? How many games do you think he started?
Well, he was injured for 4 weeks.
So just throw a number out there.
His most appearances were in the playoffs. Started, and that's not even ultimately how they ended up using him. What, one? He started one game for them, I think.
He started one game.
Yeah.
And he appeared in 6 regular season games and 2 playoff games.
Yeah.
That was your big acquisition. I wish you could see on Twitch, YouTube, wherever you watch Layla's face as I break it down to you. So when you say something like, remember, they told us they were going to be very active at the trade deadline, that's what they got. And they had a reason for it. They said, well, it just didn't materialize and the things that people wanted for the players that we wanted. I don't think the price has gone down on any of those players that they were targeting. When you're talking about some of the best young starting pitcher, whether it's a Mackenzie Gore type, you go down to Miami and look at a couple of their starters as well. I don't think the price is going down. That's why I think they're probably going to move a guy, whether it's Matt Shaw, whether it's one of these young guys who contribute a little bit. It could be an Owen Casey. It could be a Mo Baller. They're going to probably have to move one of those guys to get the upgrade they want on offense.
I mean, that's the thing. You're going to have to part with somebody who it is going to be painful to part with if you really want to improve this thing. And with Matt Shaw, we know the years of control are absolute gold. And we know that the second half numbers made it look like he's got a real future. How much are you willing to bank on that when it comes to what you expect him to hit like in this upcoming season? And if you were in the market for Alex Bregman, did sending Matt Shaw down to the minors and then bringing him back and having at least his second half numbers show potential, did that do enough for you, the GM, to say, this makes us happy at this position on the field offensively? And that's the part that I'm still, they have a lot of holes in this thing when it comes to offensive production, consistent offensive production. Pete Crow Armstrong is going to have to do a lot of work to try to beat the league adjustment that was made to him. Right field is still a gigantic question mark. Say a Suzuki slumped when Kyle Tucker slumped. And I don't think that those two are unrelated. I think he does better with protection in the lineup. But if that's the kind of protection you need, how much can you rely on his bat yet again?
I wonder, above all else, if they'll get players who allow the lineup construction to look different when you're not leading off Michael Bush. You know, like Nico Hoerner should probably just lead off.
I mean, are you comfortable enough with starting Michael Bush every day against lefties? You know, that was a discussion that stretched out into July, August.
I think they are. I think we saw that. That's the one evolution as far as the way that Craig Counsell viewed Michael Bush that we did see take place from the start of the season through the playoffs. Remember, in the playoffs, he was out here hidden. Didn't matter who. I love that.
And, you know, the first thing I thought of with some of these trades, the pie in the sky is probably not going to stay in the division, and that's Peralta. And then how much do you believe the discussion surrounding the Tigers' intent to trade Tarek Skubal, or that they would listen to a price that was right for them?
I don't know that it makes sense the Tigers would trade Tarek Skubal in the offseason, but I will tell you this. If they are willing to do it, the Cubs should be at the front of the line offering whatever, all the prospects, all the whatever. Just get, because that guy can lead your staff, and now we're not asking questions about starting pitching like we are right this
would
second.
Would you trade PCA?
What are you talking? See, this is why we can't
trade Nico Hoerner. Because if you think the Tigers, a team that was one game away from the ALCS, is going to just take prospects, you're crazy.
Yeah, but you know what else? Every GM starts out, if somebody wants something from that GM, saying that stuff. Like, welcome to baseball. You know that.
But I'm saying, like, there's another team that is going to trade a better player to get Tarek Skubal. If you're going to offer just prospects, good luck.
Who's the better player? Tell me the better player that's getting traded from another team.
Than a non-prospect?
A Major League Baseball playing player. A player who played a full year of baseball. Because that's what you just asked for.
We'll name a contender, and I'll name a player.
Mets. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, see, I could do this all day. San Francisco Giants. I could just start naming teams that need frontline starter pitching.
But if you think you can just get away with trading us Mo Baller and Owen Casey, you're crazy.
I'm not saying just Mo Baller and Casey.
Yeah,
that's not what we're
but
saying.
But you're right. It would have to be big league talent for big league talent. That's
You'd have to give us a
Say
Suzuki,
right?
And Nico Horner. And
guess
hell.
What? I They'll mean, give you Say Suzuki. They'll give you Say Suzuki.
Would the Tigers like even want Suzuki's salary?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that
we need a bopper.
Tigers are willing to pay. They're just not willing to pay that much for a guy in Tarek Skubal, how much he's going to make when he's a free agent.
I still think the whole thing is wild. Like the fact that we're even discussing this after Tarek Skubal wins the Cy Young, and he like that whole thing is that to me is silly. But all of it is up for discussion. If you really want to do this, but I don't have a lot of indication that you really wanting to do it means the league is going to meet your particular demands. And that's my rub here. Coming up next, we go back to football talk here at Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. A lot of news in the NFL, and no better person to talk about it all with than Mike Florio, creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, joins us next for his weekly appearance here on the show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.